Welcome everybody to the first PadreCast of November. Fred and I had taken off basically, I think the whole month of October there for various reasons. We're back now. We're going to knock out kind of an extended PadreCast here as we talk about basically recap the whole month of October, and then we'll get into maybe more brief PadreCasts in the going forward. But for now, Fred, how you doing? How you been the last month or so?
Been pretty good, Pasta. Whoever's visited the site knows I've been working on my man cave since pretty much after Labor Day in September, and we got done maybe like the week before last, right before the UFC event. So that was pretty much consuming all my time, and I was taking a class for work. So
Yeah.
it was been busy, busy.
And you have your own website, so there you go.
Yeah, just a blog. It's no big deal, really.
Yeah, I know, but I've been there, and it definitely takes up that extra free time you have,
Yeah, that's true.
and then you get into other projects like that, and it's tough. So there's a lot that went down in October, and it's all been covered in length on the site. But I thought it'd be interesting to talk through some of this, especially with you, since we don't really get to do that within the writing. So let's start with the biggest release of October, and that was NBA 2K11. My thoughts on that game was I went in kind of tentative because we've talked about this before. I've never really bought into the NBA 2K series the last few years, and actually I go even farther back. I go back to probably NBA Live 2003 as like the last basketball game that I really just flat out enjoyed. And so it kind of surprised me that with NBA 2K11, especially after a demo that I didn't really find all that intriguing, the actual game to me, it kind of brought back some of my passion for basketball gaming. I'd like to hear, Fred, what are your general thoughts on the game? I know you even participate in an online league, I believe, in the forums, right? What do you think of the game so far, just in general, and your experiences with it?
Oh, well, I'm really liking it so far. I've always been a 2K guy for basketball. Always enjoyed it a little bit more than the NBA Live series, mainly because of the gameplay. So I had high hopes for this one, especially reading how in depth it was in the association mode, all the Michael Jordan stuff added, all the classic team stuff. And I'm not one of these guys who really gets into that classic team stuff, but I think because they were so accurate. All the rosters for those teams, the players, faces, everything. I mean, it just wowed me. But I played a couple games online, and I had some success with it. They were pretty smooth for the most part. Haven't really gotten anything else, man. Haven't gotten into association mode. Haven't really tried out the Jordan modes too much because I've been wrapped up in my player. Any chance I get, I've just been playing that. And I think what I like about that mode the most is a lot of stuff is out of your hands, and that's kind of why I always wanted to get into the what is that, Road to the Hall of Fame or for the Madden and the Heisman stuff for the NCAA.
All the career modes,
Right,
yeah.
but there was it just seemed like those were really flawed, especially when it came to the play calling. Unless you were the quarterback, but even then, you have to run the plays that the coach calls. Whereas with this, it's totally different. And to me, it just seems like when I started out, I was like, I kind of was shut out by my team mainly because I was a rookie. And then as you play and you get better, they start working you into the offense more. You start getting more playing time. So I've really been into that. Now I hear that there's a couple problems with it, with the freezing or something. I haven't experienced any of that yet, but what I've seen of that mode so far, I really like it.
Yeah, it's interesting because if I were to look at one mode I don't like in NBA 2K11, I'd say it's my player. But I actually like the creating a legend, which is basically my player but using Michael Jordan. And I think it's because it skips over a lot of those frustrations, like how you start with a 37 overall rating. Like, there's seriously nobody's going in the NBA getting drafted with a 37 overall rating or whatever you get to right when you start up. But yeah, you do have the sense of achievement you get as you build your guy up. So I see that side to it. But like with my player, my problem with that mode also is that like the CPU AI, especially on offense, is just kind of inept. Do you notice that out of your teammates?
Yeah.
Or are they just chucking threes basically? Well, I mean, you're on the Hawks, right?
Yeah, I'm on the Hawks. So Joe Johnson and Jamal Crawford are some gunners anyways. So I really couldn't tell you, like, you know, if that's just how it is for every team. I kind of just thought that's how those guys play. But yeah, it is kind of frustrating, and it seems like a lot of times I'm getting my points early on were on garbage buckets, but now they're starting to look for me a little bit more. And I think at first I really wanted to get off that team, just to go to a team where maybe I would be a little bit a part of the offense and still win. But right now, I mean, we're on a 5-game win streak. I'm getting worked into the offense more. Like the last game I had 30 points and 14 rebounds, you know, so I think now I have every intention of staying on the Hawks, right, because we keep winning. So,
and it's interesting the way you describe it too. You just said, you know, we're on a 5-game win streak.
Yeah.
It's not typical. Everything in you know, sports gaming generally over the years has been competitive, you know.
Yeah.
Especially when you talk about online play. But there you are, you know, I like those, you know, sort of cooperative modes, but also like here in the career mode where, yeah, you're right, a lot of stuff is out of your control. What team you get drafted to, what situation you're in. So I definitely like those aspects of it, and that's why I like the creating a legend, only with, you know, you're starting with Jordan, who's a 79 right off the bat, and you're getting, you know, you're in the starting lineup, so you're not having to go through, I guess, trudging through those days where you're low rated and getting only a few minutes a game. Have you played, I don't know if you mentioned this, have you played through any of the actual Jordan scenarios?
Yeah, I did, you know, and just to try them out, you know, I really wanted to just check them out, see what they were about. And I mean, some of them were hard, man. And you know what? Yeah. I mean, I grew up watching Jordan because I'm from Chicago. And I mean, I knew that the guy was great, but it's like once you try to start playing these things, I think you really appreciate like the kind of stuff that this guy did, because it's almost unrealistic the numbers you're trying to get with some of these achievements. But really, that's like what the guy did during a game, and that's what makes it even crazier, you know. And I thought that they were cool, but I didn't end up even getting close to finishing them all. So. I did see that they released that code so you could just jump right into it and do it instead of trying to unlock them. But yeah. I haven't even gotten into that just because I've been so wrapped up in my player mode.
Yeah, I think I got 6 of them done. There's a couple that I'm not even sure I really want to attempt because they're based on rebounds. And you know, you're on a team with Dennis Rodman, he steals half your rebounds. You know, uh-huh. Pippen steals them too. So it's like you either put Jordan at center, you know, or something else. But there's a couple things you can change the difficulty level on it. You can make it easy, but then again, that just makes it feel cheap. And I think the main problem people have with it is that it's restricted. You're stuck at that 8 minutes quarters, where, you know, Jordan did all this in 12 minutes. Of course, you're hogging the ball as much as you can in this mode. So maybe it ends up balancing out. But I definitely think they're cool. And you're right. They bring that, you know, that nostalgia, and that you know, if you actually watch those games especially, or you know, or you've seen highlights over the years, kind of replaying it out. But not only that, I dig like the commentary where it's time specific, where they were talking about, you know, it was a game against the Knicks, and they were talking about how Starks couldn't hand check anymore, that because the rule had just gone into effect. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that I thought was really cool. And then again, something we've talked about in the past, you know, with my Sonics being stolen, you know, I lost again, you know, a lot. I don't have a team to root for. It's made another reason why, but you know, I haven't had that much interest in basketball games past that honeymoon period, that week or two where you first get it and everything's new. But I've been playing 2K11 continuing on, and it's awesome to have the Sonics in there and have Peyton and Kemp on there. So like, it's also, you know, an issue with 2K over the last few years has been the inability to kind of provide that total package, and online play was a big part of that. And there's definitely an improvement in online play. The lag issues aren't so bad. And my main issue, and I don't know if you've seen this, is, you know, like the outside shooting, the jump shot timing on the threes. And we actually, now that I think about it, the first few days that we played the game online, we talked about this because we were shooting terrible from three-point range.
Right.
We couldn't figure it out. There's like no adjustment you can really make to consistently, as no matter how wide open you are, the threes just don't go down. I mean, it's not just me either. The guys I play online just randomly, you know, 1 for 12, 2 for 15 from 3-point range, and it's not like we're taking bad shots. Mm-hmm. Within your league, has that been something that's come up?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm running with the Bulls, so I have Kyle Korver, who led the league in like 3-point percentage last year. Shoots like, you know, 50%, over 50% from 3-point range. And I mean, this guy is wide open, and there's nothing I can do to get the timing down to even make a shot. And I think early on, when I initially said, you know, you and I were playing, and I wasn't having very much success with hitting shots with guys who are wide open, I had a couple idiots tell me like, "Oh, well, you just need to practice," you know, like, "Oh, if it was only that easy, like I've only been playing this game for how long, you know?" and then it's funny because the same guy who said that, he ends up coming in like a week later saying, "Man, I can't hit shots online for the life of me." And I'm thinking, "Idiot, you're the one who said just to practice, you know?" Obviously, it's nothing like that. But it is, man. It's really tough to get the timing down on three-pointers especially.
And that definitely affects the games because it becomes, you know, everybody driving to the lane or mid-range jump shots, and basically as a defense you can sag and allow those 3-point attempts because you're not going to get killed by them. So that's the main detriment online to me. Otherwise, I mean, I think we both agree that 2K11 is a pretty excellent product, and value-wise, I mean, they packed in a ton of content there with the different modes, and say, like we talked about, the gameplay is all there. One thing I'm monitoring now is the NBA Today feature, which really hasn't been working at all since release. That should be bringing in. You remember we were playing online and we had those previews of upcoming games the first day. You remember that between the quarters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that those have been missing. The NBA Today specific commentary, the different on-screen graphics with stats and stuff going on around the league, and the scores around the league at halftime, all been missing. Supposedly this upcoming patch is going to fix that, but it kind of sucks that, you know, we're actually into the NBA season and that feature isn't working. So we'll see where that goes. But, you know, one thing I actually credit my enjoyment of NBA 2K11 to is that there was no NBA Live, or in the case of what they changed the name to, NBA Elite this year. I really think that not splitting my time between games, not splitting my time between different control sets and different gameplay elements, that I was able to get comfortable with 2K for the first time. Mm-hmm. And so I credit a lot of why I like 2K11 to that there was no competing product. And this was a big topic. And I think the last podcast we did actually was talking about the NBA Elite demo, and then like 2 days later it was delayed, more than likely canceled. Terrible reaction to NBA Elite after the demo from all over the place. Glitch videos. The one that went viral was the Bynum in the pose at center court. Mm-hmm. That one got, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand views. But like throughout the whole thing, and I brought it up on the show before, throughout the months leading through E3 and everything, I just had this bad gut feeling about this game because of, number one, the way that PR was talking about the game made me suspicious. Number two, they didn't show it at E3. They just showed a couple people one-on-one. And then like outlets like 1UP had the audacity to call it or to nominate it for best sports game of E3. I still can't get over that. And then, you know, throughout the thing, they weren't showing gameplay videos. The first gameplay videos that came out were on someone's camcorder taking a video of the game in action, and it looked terrible. And then they released their own videos, and they were far from impressive. I didn't actually think the game was a disaster, and I said that on the last show. I didn't think the game was a disaster, but certainly put up against 2K11, nobody was going to look at that and say, well, you know, I'm going to pay $60 for that, even though it had like NBA Jam packed in. Nobody had interest in this game, which just showed kind of how low they had gotten and how irrelevant they had become. So now we have the news that just came out last week that NBA Elite's moving to the Tiburon studio. I had been at EA Canada, now moves to Tiburon. My initial reaction to this is, okay, it can't get any worse than it was. And also, I will not be surprised. In fact, my gut feeling right now is there won't be an NBA game from EA Sports next year either. I just don't see them coming out and just polishing up NBA Elite. I think they're going to probably restart it. There's no way they're going to gain ground on 2K by releasing a subpar game, and there's no way they're going to do that coming off of NBA 2K11 when everybody loves the game. What do you think about all this stuff that's been going on with Elite, Fred? And you know, do you think it matters at this point? Or you know, everybody wants competition, and you know, is there the possibility that 2K were to drop off in a few years if EA doesn't come back strong?
You know, I don't know. I really do think that that having competition is good, because I think it pushes each company to make a better game and to just keep trying to outduel each other. So, you know, I've thought that for Madden as well. So I don't buy this crap where the same people who are saying that, you know, 2K needs to make a football game so they can push Madden because they're a bunch of lazy bastards are the same people who are saying, well, they, you know, 2K doesn't need competition because their game is so good. It's no. You know what I mean? The games are going to continue to improve if you have companies pushing each other. As far as what's going on with all this stuff with Elite, I don't know. I kind of was turned off by their attitude about the game. You know, they seemed really smug. They seemed like they were reinventing the wheel here with the game that they were coming out with. And it just didn't seem like, from what I had seen of it, that it was really going to be that good. Then the demo came out, and I was actually like, I thought that NBA Live 10 was better than the game that came out. So the demo, you know, so there was no way. I kind of went in already knowing that I most likely wasn't going to buy the game or play it, even though NBA Jam was included, because that's a whole other thing we kind of talked about already, that wasn't going to force me to buy that game. Yeah. But I had already read so much and saw so much of 2K that I was set on getting that no matter what. Far as it taking a year or two off, I really do think that that's the best thing they can do, you know. Yeah. But even then, you figure, okay, let's say we all know how good NBA 2K is this year. Let's say that next year they come out with a game that's on par or even better. You know, what can EA do to even try to get their foot back in the door with a basketball?
Yeah, at this point, I mean, they were packaging in another game and still couldn't do it. I don't know what they can do with it, honestly. I mean, they're going to have to find a way. Like, they thought they were going to differentiate themselves from 2K this year with their control scheme and the real-time physics. And, you know, if they had pulled that off, maybe it would have been the case. But, you know, there's always place for a second game. It's not going to sell like 2K regardless for years. It's going to take them to get back the possibility even of selling on par with them. 2K right now is the Madden of basketball games. People think NBA basketball game, and they go to the store to get NBA 2K. That's just the way it is, and it's going to be really difficult to change that perception in consumers' minds. Now, you can also look back at a similar situation where Pro Evolution Soccer worldwide was considered the premier soccer game, and FIFA was a joke. And then within about 3 or 4 years, FIFA became the premier soccer game, and PES became overlooked. And then also the same thing happened with NHL 2K in the early, mid-2000s, and NHL from EA rising up in the last few years. So it's possible, but definitely difficult to look at it now and foresee that, especially with how, you know, how disruptive everything has been over the past few years. So I mean, I carried that skepticism. I think you mentioned the you know, attitude from EA, and that definitely turned me off the whole time. Was the way they talked about it, how everything's amazing. You weren't gonna want to ever play a basketball game differently. Mm-hmm. They said that was one of the things. Of course, now almost famous comment about how, if someone makes a half-court shot on you, you know it's just because he was skilled. You know, Yeah, that's great. You know, I almost felt this sense of, I think EA wasn't pleased that I was skeptical towards the game the whole time. That's why I never got access to it or anything, even at E3. So, you know, I'm gonna continue saying, you know, my gut feeling on this, and I'm not gonna be, you know, someone who gives them best sports game at E3 because they didn't even show half the game off. Didn't even show the game off in true form. I mean, there were so many warning signs along the way. It'd be disingenuous to talk about a game otherwise. And unfortunately, most places just covered the PR. But alas, that's the way it was. So yeah, that was a big development. And as it goes to Tiburon, a lot of people associate Tiburon with Madden. It doesn't mean that the Madden guys work on the new NBA game there. It just means that's where it's housed out of. And it'll have different developers, and it'll probably have different leadership. Who knows where they're going to go with it. But it'll be interesting to monitor. But I won't, they're not going to announce it for a while, but I won't be surprised if there isn't a game next year. And there definitely isn't going to be an NBA League game coming out in a few months, despite what some people think. So we'll see how that goes. The other, let's go to another release from October. And this was 2 weeks ago. EA Sports MMA released. Now this was a game that I liked a lot at E3. I didn't like the demo, surprisingly. I don't know what it was, but I didn't like the demo. So I went from liking the game at E3 to disliking the demo and thinking I wasn't going to play the game much. Turns out that I really actually love the game, and it's a ton of fun. Really enjoying my time with it in career mode and online play. But there's been a lot of talk about low sales, and I noticed that immediately because on the first day of release and over the next coming days, it was hard to actually find an online fight. Usually, it would search and come up with no opponents available. So, I don't, you know, EA didn't go in expecting huge sales from an unlicensed game, you know, and not a non-UFC game, anyways, with only a few fighters that are recognizable to casual fans of the sport. They didn't expect big sales. So I don't think that's necessarily the concern, but it actually does damage the experience somewhat because it's harder to find online games. There isn't as many people online to get involved with, like, the fight cards, which is an awesome feature, or the live broadcast, which is great in concept, but nobody really seems to care about, unfortunately. So that's just kind of where we're at with EA MMA. I love the game. I just posted up kind of my, not a review, but it's kind of my wrap-up article on the game and what I thought it did well and where it may have come up short. But I love the game. It's definitely going to be at the top of my list, near the top of my list. It's not going to be the top of my list, but near the top of my list for favorite games of 2010. I know, Fred, you didn't pick it up. What do you attribute that to? Did you ever have an interest in the game? Did you lose it, or was it just never much of anything caught your interest?
Well, I think it was one of these things where I had already purchased UFC, and did I really need another MMA game? You know, it's a different game, different roster, but did it do enough for me to pick it up? No, I only really played the demo, got a feel for it. Thought it was okay. I thought they did some things that were better than the UFC game, but in the end, it just wasn't enough for me to pick it up. The other thing too is, you know, I consider myself an MMA fan, not so much just a UFC fan, but you know, I follow all the different promotions. But let's be honest, UFC is sort of like the NFL of mixed martial arts right now. You know, they're the ones who have all the pay-per-views. They're the ones who have all the shows and the most recognizable fighters. That's what I think will sell me on that. And then plus, you know, going into the future, UFC is merging with the WEC, which, you know, they're already owned by the same company anyways. But that's like a whole influx of really good fighters that are added to that roster now, in whole different weight classes. You know, so I don't know. I think in itself that's really huge, you know, because a lot of those guys are on pound for pound some of the best fighters, guys like Jose Aldo and Uriah Faber and Miguel Torres. You know, all those guys are going to be in the UFC game now, and to me that's just another huge thing. But you know, that I thought that the EA Sports game was pretty good for first try, it just wasn't enough for me to pick up, and I had really no intentions of picking it up unless it just wowed me, you know?
Yeah, and I can't blame you for that feeling. I suspect you would like it a lot if you got it, but it can be a tough sell, especially at that $60 price point. Is it something you look at maybe Black Friday sales? You know, I would not be surprised to see MMA drop to, you know, $35, yeah. $40, maybe even $30. Is that somewhere where you might actually think about?
Yeah, you know, something like that. I would. I there was just too many other games coming out so soon that I didn't want to drop another $60 on that. But yeah, if I did find it cheaper somewhere else, you know, like you said, a Black Friday deal where it's maybe like $40 or even $30, then I would definitely pick it up because it wasn't a terrible game. It was pretty good, and I think that MMA fans would definitely like it. It's just I couldn't justify dropping another $60 on another MMA game when I already had.
Yeah, and not even. Yeah, and not even the MMA game, but this is something I brought up when discussing sales issues. And the release date for the game, October 19th, not only are there a bunch of other huge, you know, AAA titles coming out around this time, you know, I think it released the same day as Fallout, but there's a whole bunch of other games coming out. This is when everybody's getting in before Black Friday, you know, Halos and Call of Duties, and all those games are pouring out now. But you had all the sports games. You had NBA, you had NHL, you had FIFA, you had NBA Jam coming up. You have, I think there was, I counted like 8 between early September and late October, and they're competing against themselves not only in sports games, but it's really tough to justify. I do it. It's easy for me because I got to cover it, but it's difficult for people to justify buying all these sports games, and mm-hmm. I think they're kind of eating into each other. Don't even forget that there was going to be NBA Elite in there also.
Yeah.
So who knows? It may have been even worse if people had bought NBA Elite. They, you know, maybe some people ended up buying MMA that wouldn't have otherwise. But so we're looking at, you know, 2012 for the next EA MMA game, 2012 for the next UFC game, and like you said, bringing in WEC means. I think something big for UFC, because jump from UFC 09 to UFC 10, most people didn't see enough of a difference between the two games, but that's going to give them something new to put in. So I think that's a big thing. So anyways, I want to talk a little about MMA there because I like the game a lot. I'd recommend it to anyone out there who's on the fence, especially if you're into the online play. I do the fight cards on Friday night, and that's been a blast. So feel free to join into that. Let's move to a little bit of Madden, which I think we're both pretty much done with for the year. But I had to try it out because they added in this three mode. Okay,
yeah.
So let me go through the bitch of a time you have to go through just to get to the 3D mode. Okay, you got to go out and buy a bag of Doritos. All right, these are the Madden Doritos. Right. Okay, it's gonna have a code on there. Go to the Doritos website. Put the code in. It's going to give you a code to put into Xbox or your PS3. So you go into the game, go to the redeem code, put in this code, and there, you've unlocked the 3D. And that's a pain in the ass. But not only that, you have to find yourself some 3D glasses. I ordered mine off Amazon for a couple bucks. They're pretty fucking sweet, but they're just stupid 3D glasses, and I'm never going to use them again because I played Madden 3D for about 10 seconds before I was ready to turn it off. This is the worst. It was the worst experience ever. I started getting a headache. Everything seemed blurry. The 3D is not impressive at all. Nothing really pops out. And everything's darker. So it's really hard to, if you're in the passing game, it's really hard to go your progressions and everything. Big pain in the ass to do. Let me just recommend anybody out there, if you're thinking about playing Madden in 3D and going through all this, don't do it. I'm going to try to save you some pain. It's excruciating, and it's terrible. Don't let the marketing fool you. Madden 3D is not cool.
Now, was it worse than that first person mode in NFL 2K5? Like I almost threw up playing that mode.
That's disorienting too. This is like, you know, you can turn it on or off. Just leave it off. First person mode too. At least you didn't have to play it. But in this case, you have to go. You didn't have to go out and buy stuff, Fred, to play first person mode 2K. You have to go out and buy a bag of Doritos, put in codes, find a pair of 3D glasses somehow, however you want to do it. Of course, they offer you three, you know, you can buy them for $3 off the Doritos website. So you're ending up spending money to get this 3D mode, which is terrible. Let me also add that the 3D mode adds in some graphics, which include like exploding Doritos logos, and Gus Johnson talking more about Doritos. So, you know, if that's the kind of stuff you like, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like Doritos, but it just seems like it's it's a little overkill on the Dorito front there. I mean, at least you got a good bag of chips, you know, after all was said and done. But unless you don't like Doritos, then it's like really three strikes right there.
I typically don't buy Doritos.
Oh, man. I could see why you hated it.
And it caught me, you know, I wasn't going to go to the store, but I had to go to the store to get my Doritos so I can write up the impressions on the 3D. It's kind of cool, though. If you go to the website, and I did my 3D impressions where I talk crap about it, but I took screenshots and took video. So if you actually have the red blue glasses with you, and put it on, you'll see what it looks like. The screenshots look decent. You can see the pop, like with the Marshawn Lynch screenshot I put up. You can see him coming out in the back, you know, the background's kind of faded back. So it looks decent, but it's when it gets into motion that it just falls to hell. So I'm passionate about this. Don't follow the hype for this 3D mode. Don't go through the hassle. It's not worth it. If you do, I'd love you to leave a comment in that article and tell me what you thought of it, because I think it's kind of entertaining. People, you know, first reaction to, oh, they're adding a 3D mode is, this is the kind of crap they spend time on. And the funny thing is, the PR that came out about it was like, we're surprised nobody found out about this earlier, like it's some big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I kind of mentioned about 3D on the entertainment side of things, about like, I think it's just overdone already, and I'm so tired of it. When I saw this, I saw your article, I read it, and I thought, you know, this, like, exactly kind of crap that they're doing with Madden now, like, you know, just, but then again, it's not one of these things where I'm like, oh, they could have allocated their resources, like, to something. No, it wasn't anything like that. It was just like, really?
You know, I'm not faulting them for putting it in there. They didn't spend, you know, resources on this that could have been, you know, made the gameplay better or added a feature or something. They didn't spend time on this. It's the cheap 3D, you know, red blue glasses, like I said. So, you know, it's like if you went and watched, you know, Clash of the Titans in 3D, which is, you know, often referred to as the worst example of it because it's a conversion. This is basically what Madden is converted to 3D and not designed for it. So, it's a mess. Don't do it. Read my impressions. Laugh along with me. And my 3D glasses, which I thought were pretty cool looking, I'll never use again, most likely. So that's where I was bad about that. So I thought I'd bring it up and let people know, don't waste your time on it. Don't spend money on Doritos unless you're going to buy them anyways. Don't spend money on buying 3D glasses, which you can buy for $3 off their website. Or it apparently comes in ESPN, the magazine. They'll give you some free 3D glasses also. Don't waste your money hunting this down. It's a pain. I don't want to talk about Madden anymore. That's enough for me. Let's talk NBA Jam, because that's really the last sports game that's going to release this year. Are you looking forward to it now that it's set out by itself? Or I think we may have talked about the price being an issue for you.
Yeah, again, I think it's one of these things where I'm interested in it, and I would definitely buy it now as a standalone game. But again, that price tag, you know, I'm still wanting to get Call of Duty Black Ops, and you know, I'm not going to spend it on NBA Jam because I know myself, I'm going to play Call of Duty more than I am NBA Jam. I did it with NBA Street. You know, I love it the first couple days, can't get enough of it, playing the hell out of it. And then it's like I gradually play less and less and less as the, so, you know, I think I might be a little bit more interested in this one than Street. For the nostalgic purposes, you know, I grew up playing NBA Jam, loved NBA Jam, but it's one of these things, like, if I see it cheaper, like you said, on a Black Friday deal, or maybe one of these buy two, get one games free, you know, I'd be willing to do it that way, but I'm not going to run out and get.
Yeah, so it's $50, and to me, this game's going to provide plenty of value for that compared to a lot of other games that I end up buying that I play as much. I got to try out NBA Jam at PAX. When was that? Last September, August? I don't remember when it was, but at PAX, and Dylan and I had a lot of fun playing this game, and it was really, you know, a refreshed version of it. It had, you know, all the touches of the old game, but it felt updated. And so adding in, so it's $50, same price as the Wii version. You're getting all the stuff in the Wii game, including the remix mode, and they're going to add in a couple kind of online specific stuff, co-op modes to play online, so you can play co-op through remix mode. So they're adding a bunch of content to that. They're going to be doing roster updates, all kind of stuff, so fully supporting it. So I get the value out of that. I can understand why people wouldn't, and I think EA screwed themselves over by announcing it as a free add-on for NBA Elite, because everybody started associating NBA Jam with a value of $0, and you're trying to sell it for $50. Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody who wanted NBA Jam was going to get Elite was looking at it like, okay, I'm basically paying, you know, $20 for Jam, because then I'll just sell Elite for $40 or whatever. So there's always value to it, but still, EA marketed as a free thing, as no having no value, and now they're trying to sell it for $50. So I definitely understand why some people are hesitant to accept it. But then again, they sold the Wii version for $50, and it didn't even have online play. So who knows? Okay, so let's close it up. I want to talk about Kinect, because you have your nice man cave.
Yeah,
plenty of room. I've seen the pictures. Plenty of room for you to play Kinect. I'm picking up Kinect this week. I'm going to do some impressions on the sports-themed games. We've talked about this many times. Neither of us are motion control guys, but I'm kind of intrigued by the prospect of, you know, not having a controller. And then also, I think for other people that come over, it'd kind of be a cool experience. This is something I think you told me that you were going to kind of monitor, but you're not going to get right away, right?
Yeah, you know, I'll probably wait to see what you say about it. Something that you mentioned, I think for me, that is even picked my interest enough to want to buy it is you're going to be able to just sit there and like browse through the Xbox without using a controller, right? Like you're just,
yeah.
And to me, that's cool because like you saw my setup down here. It's like perfect for that, just to sit on the couch and slide my hand over. I'm like skimming through this stuff, you know, and then add to that Xbox dashboard update that you and I were kind of previewing before we did the podcast with the ESPN content and all that. It's just, to me, that just, it, I'd get it more for that. Just the ability to browse without the controller. Although I got to tell you, man, like my wife, sort of like a present for this man cave, she bought me a new Logitech Harmony Universal.
Oh, the remote.
Right,
yeah.
And I had the Xbox one, but the buttons were kind of wearing out on it. So she got me this new one with this like little animated window and all this other crap. That thing works awesome. So to me, it's like almost like I don't even use the Xbox controller anyways. So yeah. I don't know. I'll monitor it, see what you say. But if I do get it, it's not going to be because I really want to play motion games. I had the Wii. I played it a little bit and then never touched again. So I'd be looking to get it for other reasons.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see where they go with it in terms of more hardcore games. Because right out the gate, the launch titles aren't particularly impressive. It comes packed with Kinect Adventures, which is, you know, they have like a river rafting game, stuff like that. And then there's other games coming out. There's a Harry Potter game. I don't think it's supposed to be any good, though. but like there's Kinectimals, which I'll probably end up having to get for babysitting purposes. Long story. But, you know, there's only a few sports-themed ones, and they're kind of the mini-game type things to start off. I think there's potential for them to go a different direction and start bringing in different types of sports games. One of them called Motion Sports right now is a launch title from Ubisoft, and one of the games in there is very reminiscent of Backbreaker's Tackle Alley, only you're using your motions to spin and juke. So it's starting off with a lot of mini game type stuff, and we'll see where it goes from there. But I'm intrigued by it. For $150, it is kind of a tough sell. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be worth it, and at least I'll be able to cover it for the site and all that, and we'll see where it goes from there. So, I wasn't intrigued enough by PlayStation Move to get it. It just seemed like another Wii, only in HD, and there again, launch lineup there wasn't that impressive. Microsoft's obviously marketing more towards a casual crowd. I mean, they were huge benefit of getting on Oprah, and then her, you know, she gave out Kinects, and people who probably had no idea, these women who had no idea what Kinects were, they went completely batshit nuts on Oprah. So you can know, Fred, that the Oprah audience loves Kinect.
Oh, that's good to know. I mean, I don't know what else soccer moms would if they get a soccer mom's seal of approval, then maybe it's something I should go out and pick up as soon as it releases.
And maybe not. So yeah, that's Connect. All right. Yeah, I think we're gonna wrap up the Podcast now. Like I said at the start, want to just kind of roll out everything that's happened in the last month, talk a little bit about it, and move past it. So now from now on, we'll try to get back to a little more regular stuff and probably more brief in how it's structured and maybe more of the video Podcast, and we'll see how that all turns out. But thanks everyone for hanging in there with us, Fred. Thanks again for joining in to the show, and everyone take care. Be back soon.